Welcome to United Voices, a podcast from United Way Waterloo Region Communities, where we seek to amplify important yet often overlooked issues and voices that help to shape our community. My name is Jill Laurie, and I'm part of the United Way team behind this podcast. I'm happy to be introing our second episode, which was a conversation my colleague Brian Cam and I had with the team from Langs Community Health, who work part-time out of MAX, the multi-agency community space in downtown Cambridge. This is another conversation intended to help our community understand the importance of the work quietly being done in this space, how this team helps individuals with unique needs, and the positive impact on our broader community. Today's conversation is with Crystal and Peter from the Langs Community Health Team. They've been working out of MAX since 2020 when it began as a response to increased need during the COVID pandemic. Crystal is an outreach worker and Peter is a nurse practitioner. Thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with us. Can you please tell us a bit about what your work out of MAC entails?
So we provide primary care. We do that in a very wraparound way. So we do have a social worker, myself as an outreach worker. We have Peter, our nurse practitioner, and Cindy, our nurse. And we are here 3 days a week on the standard, kind of a very basic, we provide primary care in all ways that that looks.
What are the needs you're seeing right now for the people?
Lots of wound care, biotic, abscesses.
Mm-hmm. And I would say also case management is a huge part of our role. A lot of the folks that we see here struggle with connecting with their primary care or with, let's say, if they're seeing a specialist or someone else for their health. Oftentimes those things can get missed, or if they don't have a phone, they miss appointments, the hospital's not able to get a hold of them, those kinds of issues. So then we're there to try to figure out where things kind of got missed and how to reconnect them back.
Can you explain a little bit about the idea of silos in the healthcare system and how this can be extra challenging with your patients?
If we're thinking about the silos, so there's different silos. We have the hospital, we have primary care, we have specialists, we have different organizations, and we all do our best to try to connect with each other. Unfortunately, there's not always a thread connecting them, which is really so badly needed for people who either struggle with connecting. Unfortunately, then people get missed, they get dropped because they are not able to advocate for themselves, to follow up on appointments, reschedule things. As far as the silos in health go, sharing information also becomes a challenge. So because we work in primary care, we're better able to collect some of that information. But between different partners, I think one of the big struggles is, who can I share this information with in a safe manner to keep things confidential? Without jeopardizing like someone's safety.
And I think we've spent probably the last 6 years building relationships and leveraging those relationships with the hospitals. So, when I say to somebody, I go to the hospital, then we can say, let me message, so-and-so and Emerge and say, let them know you're coming. Does that feel better? And then they can check in with you. So leveraging those relationships built across, not just within our community partners that are, here at MAX, but also leveraging our partnerships that we've established.
Try to support people who are interested in seeking treatment for addictions. One of the challenges is trying to get somebody ready to go to treatment, and that can be a challenging thing. So trying to support them. So part of our role is providing some of that primary care to help get people to the places that they need to go. Mental health is another one as well, that unfortunately people who struggle with their mental health are often more isolated or don't necessarily access the services as easily as others people would. And so that's part of our role, is to help kind of facilitate that.
We heard from the folks at Aqua about the challenge of service disruption when people living in an encampment are moved along. Can you speak to how that affects your ability to support them?
I would say that probably the biggest challenge there is, and we work often with the outreach workers at Aqua and to try to track people down, but that often is a huge challenge, is that we'll get somewhere with somebody they're starting to follow through on things. They've been sent up to Kitchener. We have systems to be able to track healthcare stuff, but we don't have the same systems that the outreach workers have, like that health people are. And so trying to work with our partners to be able to provide mm-hmm. the best care and say sharing information, but figuring out how we can best work together to help an individual. So if somebody has been sent up to a shelter, they have that information. And so we do often try to encourage that our patients are accessing all resources, because it does help us be able to find them better.
Yeah.
So you can, from what I'm hearing, you could literally have someone who is on the road to getting connected to treatment, and then suddenly a disruption in where they're living throws all of that work right out the window.
And that applies to pretty much any medical support that they can receive. So whether it's treatment or it's seeing a psychiatrist, for example, or medical follow up, suddenly those things are all missed, and it's a big challenge to reconnect them again, because there's missed appointments, so they get put to the back of the list again, and so these things that were high priority suddenly get pushed back further.
In order to have success with somebody who has either been living rough, living in the shelter system, couch surfing, these are folks who have been, especially when we're talking about mental health and addiction, that have been ostracized from society, and reconnecting them to services. We have some really great success stories of people that we have followed from, they maybe started coming here, and then from here they started accessing housing services. They started accessing our medical services, and then by building that trust, then we can have conversations about treatment and connecting them to those services. And then magical thing happens. They go to treatment. While they're there, they mm-hmm. are able to get housing, finally contributing to the way they want to and the way they deserve to be, contributing to society. And so it's this kind of interesting thing of, like, everyone's like, we don't want the encampments, we don't want the shelters, but those are how people connect, and that is how they're getting the services they need.
Specifically to our primary care clinic, I think one of the benefits, or we hope one of the benefits, is that we can help to lessen ER visits, for example, for people who have used the ER frequently in the past. They may see this as an alternative for some concerns. So that's one hope. The other one is to try improve. We also do provide some support for sexually transmitted diseases and screening for them. And hopefully we can catch some of them more in a low barrier approach and be able to provide care if that's needed. So those would be some other things just specific to us. We talked about case management, and just in the improvement in the case management, I think, is one of our goals, is that people are able to get to those appointments. They are able to get their tests done. They are able to get their blood work, their imaging, and then hopefully from that, they're able to get whatever it's like, if it's surgery, like a knee replacement, or if it's treatment or whatever it is, hopefully those things can actually happen.
What are some of the extra concerns you see for folks living rough, especially now in the winter?
When you're living rough, right, you don't have foot care is an issue, or like footwear. I should just start with footwear. Poor footwear does not help with the risk for frostbite. And then also, if you are living rough, oftentimes it's harder for wounds to heal. So if there is some frostbite there, which can happen, we do see that quite often in the wintertime, sadly. These wounds are not treated adequately, and so they don't access primary care until it has gotten significantly bad, to a point where they need quite considerable medical treatment in order to help treat it. And so because there's that challenge to accessing care, they let things go too far, and that can increase their risk.
I wouldn't say it's just even a winter issue. We have seen amputations from just infection that gets way out of control. Accessing wound care beyond us is almost impossible, because you need a health card in order to, a valid health card, in order to be able to access funded wound care appointments. Now, people are afraid to go to the hospital because they fear judgment, they fear going into withdrawal. They fear sitting for hours and hours and going into withdrawal. So many reasons why people avoid the hospital.
What would you like to share with the general population about your work and what they can do to help if they're so inclined?
A lot of the stories we hear, these people were like you and I prior, right? And something happens and life takes a change in a different direction. And I think hopefully you're able to have that perspective when you see someone on the street or you see them living rough, and you hope that you can think that could also be me. There's something happened in their life. They are a human being, and they also need help. And so it's more that stigma, that approach to who these people are. They're like you. They're like you and me.
Compassion goes a long way.
Yeah.
Is there any particular partners you wanted to sort of note? I mean, obviously working at the MAC site.
Yeah, being here at the MAC site, we are able to leverage, you know, accessing different partnerships, whether that be Starling, whether that be Ontario Works. We are able to, and then working with the MAC, like we're able to build those partnerships, and our folks know, they feel that support. They feel like they don't come here and see Langs, they don't come here and see Starling, they don't come here and see OW, they see the drop-in people, you know,
yeah.
The MAC people. They think we're all one and the same. I need to access, but they know I need to access housing, I need to access the doctor, I need to, you know, they ask for what they need. They don't see us as different partners.
Yeah.
They see us as one and the same.
Yeah, and I definitely think that builds all those partners up, right? We all kind of, I think being together, being able to do these warm handoffs, to have that understanding from each other, helps to really make you more of a cohesive unit. So you don't, it doesn't feel like partners really. It feels more like you're all part of doing the same role.
Yeah. Peter, you mentioned a warm handoff. So that's about relationships. That's about connecting someone to and introducing them maybe for the first time to maybe different service provider,
yes.
But doing it in a way that feels more natural. Hey,
yes.
I know this person,
yes.
and so you have some trust here with me. I entrust them
Absolutely.
To be able to,
yes.
to help you with getting that ID.
Yes.
You don't have ID.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We see that at all the time with medical, because again, people don't like medical professionals. In general.
Yeah.
And so we'll often see it. One of the peers will say, you should go see Peter for that wound. You should, you know, go talk to Peter, go talk to Crystal. She knows a bit about that addiction stuff. Go talk to her. And so they have a very trusting relationship. Our folks have a very trusting relationship with the peers, because the peers, it's such a great model. And so when that handoff happens, it's then more successful.
Yes.
We've even had a couple times where a peer even comes in with somebody just so that they feel
yeah.
comfortable. And then yeah. probably the biggest success that we see is that when somebody gets housed, it is very hard to move them on to another medical provider.
We don't want
to
let them go.
We don't want to let them go. They don't want to let us go. We're all working through it.
Yeah. Well, and thinking from the perspective of someone like myself who has not experienced homelessness, it's frustrating enough to, you know, be on the phone around, you know, issue, let's say credit card inquiry,
yeah.
and then being told, well, yeah, here, I'll transfer you over here. But
yeah.
then it becomes
yes.
this complicated bureaucracy, and then you just give up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to be fine tonight if I give up on that
yeah.
little inquiry. Yeah, it's not going to be life or death for me, but for
yes.
someone who's experiencing the same kind of frustration, like, I'm not waiting in line. Like, the ER wait
mm-hmm.
is going to be way too long. I know what that's about. I'm not doing that. That is life and death.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think another part of that is the low barrier part of it as well. We are a drop-in. They have to put their name on a list and to see
hang
us
around.
And hang around. That's really the criteria to get to see us.
Yep.
And for a lot of the providers as well, they're here. And so there's not that whole process. Like you mentioned, you know, trying to be transferred somewhere else. You have to call them. You have to know their number. You have to, you know, fit this criteria. That's the stuff that we figure out down the road, right? We kind of figure out where to best fit you. But here they can come in, we can kind of problem solve where to go from there.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Voices United, a podcast from United Way Waterloo Region Communities. Today, we heard from Crystal and Peter of the Langs Community Health Team, sharing the vital work they're doing at MAX to support our unhoused neighbors, ease the strain on emergency services, and address major health challenges before they become crises. United Way is very proud to be in partnership with Langs and provide funding for some of this important work. United is the way to build a stronger, more supportive community for everyone.